Okay. Are we all back? Is there anybody else out there, Brian? Okay. All right, this is all a little bit new to us as far as this format goes, but we wanted to sit in with you and kind of make this, again, a coming together of the body, making it so that we appreciate more that, as Paul said, this is something that we all can bless and that we all can participate in. And so my hand in it will probably be a little more and each time a little less as we do this. But I really want to give all of you an opportunity to participate. And what we want to do now is to begin to think and talk about the issue of the bread first and then the cup. But I'll just lead off by telling you that, like I said, my excitement in doing this with you and having this Lord's table together with you this morning really has to do with bringing to it the first part of heart writing that has taken place on my own heart, and that I've learned now and had things taught to me by my father and begin to participate in his business that is preparing me for the work in the heavenly places. And putting on the show today is to really, you know, again, make this an exciting, joyful celebration in the death of our Lord. And I know Paul emphasizes the death there. You do show the Lord's death till he comes. He doesn't say you show his resurrection. And even though we are saved, justified, and the resurrection is a big deal, he's trying to show what he accomplished in that battle that ensued in his cross work, in which the new covenant springs from. And we get to participate in that in a very tangible way this morning by having written on our hearts the positive and proper response of that information. And I love the passage there in 1 Corinthians 2, when Paul talks about there the wisdom of this world. He said, "We speak the wisdom of God," in verse 7, "in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." And that's something very big, I think, to bring to the Lord's table in the victory that he has, and that they had no idea what was latent in what they saw as their great hour of triumph being their hour of doom, when he drank of that cup and he went through the indignation and he suffered on the cross and did all that he did to provide for us today. It just makes a real tangible connection between what we're doing here and the impact that we have to have on the heavenly places. If anybody would like to speak more to the bread, please, if anybody wants to participate, then you have an opportunity to have a voice in it. I know you may be a little intimidated or timid, but we are one body here.
Now?
Sure.
Well, I suppose I'll break the ice here. While this may appear a little bit clumsy, I assure you that the next time, and the time after that, and the time after that, this will all become much smoother. As we prepare to take for the bread, I am reminded of us as being described as one loaf. We are not only the bread, but we are the bread with Christ, for we are in him and he is in us. What a pleasure it is for me to take of this service with each one of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It is quite possibly one of the greatest experiences of my life. In fact, it is. And to do something so simple as to share the bread, representing the body of Christ with you, my brothers and sisters, I am reminded of the fact that as deity, God cannot be nailed to the cross. But as the second person of the Trinity took on flesh, he was able to do so and to bear my sins on the cross, to die, to be buried, to block them out, and then to be resurrected to give me a new life. And I am so grateful that not only is that part of the new covenant available for me, but it is available for all of you and my brothers and sisters in Christ. What a pleasure it is.
I would just like to say that it's such a privilege to be here as sons and daughters that are collected and come together in communion with the Father. And as far as growing up in the body, and as we talk about that body, one of the things that has struck me has been our continuous education in Romans 8, and we're looking at verse 29. Because he knew that we were going to come together. He foreknew something, that we would all be here as sons and daughters. And he prepared the way for this with his doctrine. And with that foreknowledge, he also then predestined us. We have a destiny as those sons and daughters to come together. And then when you read this next part, to be conformed to the image of his Son, besides having everything else that he has given us, and we look back at those emblems, the body and the blood, there's like continuous development as we grow up into him and become that image of his dear Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren that love his Son and his blood. What an absolute privilege it is to be here in the presence of the local assembly with you folks, and to be able to take the partake of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Appreciate that. Anyone else? Well, I just also want to say too about the body or the bread, especially that again, I've always appreciated that as when Jesus himself talked about I am the bread of life, and when it was originally done being the issue of unleavened bread, just to represent the issue of sin being out of the picture, but more importantly, as it speaks of his body being impeccable in nature, that he was the only one, the only human being who not only responded to the call for redemption, but he was the only one qualified to be able to do it. And just his sinless perfection that allowed his body to be broken for us, that we might be able to partake of it in symbolic form today, knowing that, as Paul said, I think it makes it so much more real that we are one bread and one body. Are there anybody else want to say anything to the blessing of the bread? Okay. Well, if we've satisfied the blessing of the bread, then let's partake of the bread. Would you like to pass out the elements?
if we have satisfied all of the blessing of the bread this morning, then let's partake of that bread. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took that bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat you all of it." Would one of you gentlemen like to pray?
Father, again, we're so thankful for the opportunity to partake in this service. As we take of the bread, of course, we're reminded of the body of Christ, reflected in the loaf of bread, and as we ourselves are pictured as a loaf of bread. And Father, we're grateful for the fact of what was accomplished in that body on the cross, providing us with all the accoutrements of the new covenant. And we are grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. And now for the cup. I guess we'll sing at the end. Now we can bless the cup. I'll tell you myself, what I'm reminded of every time I think about the cup, it reminds me, since it is the element in which Paul talks about, this is the New Testament that is written in my blood. It's always been something to me to realize that Christ died for me, he shed his blood for me, and that the blood of Christ signifies to me the depth of the serious nature in which that covenant was ratified. It took his blood to do it. And it's just a portion of having life in the blood and having that to be something that was spilled for me, something that at the end of his cross work, as they pierced his side and the blood and the water came out, signifying he died physically on that cross. He was truly physically dead. And yet, I have so many connections with my sanctified position in Christ, because though he was physically dead, they could take that body, put it in a grave, the only grave in all of human history that was borrowed. Only said he needed it for 3 days. And to put that body in there, leave it alone for 3 days, and remember when we went over this in Romans 6 doctrine and sanctification, where no sin could corrupt that body. And as he was performing all of his battle work in the pit and in the depths of the heart of this earth to raise victorious over all of that, it just is a reminder to be so closely participating in that, to be in Christ in the degree that we too can participate and walk in newness of life. Just as when he came out of the grave, he performed a newness of life ministry at the end of his ministry, and that we get to participate in those sanctified parts of the new covenant with him as well. And the cup represents so much to me about his the serious nature and the bloodshed and the reason for redemption being necessary to have blood associated. It's just a lot of things all come together there for me as well that make this the meaningful thing that it is. But to especially bring to the table once again my own sonship that isn't mine, but that is my Father's who gave me, makes this all the more meaningful today to be able to just, I think, put on display. And I hope somebody would say or speak to that issue of Colossians 2, that Christ in triumphing over them in his cross, he put to shame and open chagrin the adversary and his cohorts that tried to stop that. And you and I as sons get to participate in the victory of that. And to me, that cup represents a great deal of that. So that's my speaking to the issue of the cup. Anybody else? Katie.
When you think about the blood, and you said this before, being the most valuable commodity in the world, much more precious to our body than gold, silver, or precious stone. We've got to have blood to live. And that brings me back to the the body of Christ and all that Christ did for us. Shedding his blood, the most valuable thing, so that we might have a relationship with him and with our Father.
Awesome. He gave everything he had. Yeah, that's good. I appreciate that a lot. Anyone else?
Yeah, I'd like to just kind of add to that. In the series mentioned of, and that just brings our mind to the seriousness of what he did. It just amazes me how Heavenly Father, through the sonship education in my own life, has made me actually be able to see how to do something where I've always struggled with, in the grace life, you really can't do anything. You just, more or less, I was stuck on thinking, and it was never, how do I do something? And I see now that he has made it possible for us to take all of the circumstances we have in our daily life and truly make it count for him with the attitude of the measure of faith, seeing the importance we all have and the serious, significant importance we all have in this together. And I've never had that perspective, but it's just how it continues to build in me and being able to take and apply not just this opportunity of the communion table, but every day and every circumstance through my day to measure, how does my Heavenly Father esteem what I'm doing right now? How am I supposed to participate in this? And where is the priority it has in my life? And get all my priorities sorted out so I can operate with him in every opportunity and every circumstance. And that's significant and very serious, and it has a huge impact. Mm-hmm. I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah. That's great. I appreciate that. Anything anyone else has?
I think the encouragement that we receive just from seeing one another and how each person puts into their daily life and their relationship with others, that everything that sonship really means is just such an encouragement to me to see, because I don't have a group that I can meet with on a regular basis. And being here and being part of this group and seeing the love that is shared among everyone and just the value of each person for who they are. That was a real turning point for me when I learned that in Romans 12. To look at one another the way that my Father sees them and not the way that my flesh sees them. And I think something like that is just so critical for the body to continue to grow, because unless we're looking at one another with his eyes, it's always going to be our judgmental flesh that we allow to get in the way of our relationship with one another. And just to know that his death on the cross and his shedding of his blood for us, for each one of us, has made all this possible is just something that we need to keep so much at the forefront of our thoughts on a daily basis. Because we get so busy and tied up with life that we often forget those things. And that's why situations like this are so encouraging, is because we take the time to see who we really are and where we're really at, or who he's made us to be in his Son, as sons and daughters. And to renew that focus that we actually have on a daily basis. And I'm just so thankful for what he did for me and that God's and how he's death
I mean, it's just to follow up on what Linda said too, how I look at the cross so differently than I ever did before. Don't you? I mean, really. You grow up, you know, in church, and all you see is you see crosses and all this kind of business, and it's always thinking about something about Easter or something about just justification. But I remember the first time Keith talked to me and was trying to get it across to me that simple statement that God did much more than just justify you. Well, how much is that much more? It's so much more. But it all comes from that cross. It all comes. What he accomplished at that cross is amazing. Yeah, I mean, that's putting it mildly. But so much was done at that time that we can sit here now and be thinking about how that has made us and is continuing. I'm like a little kid having my first present, because when I have this written on my heart for the first time, it just thrills me to know that I can truly say that I've got something now written on that fleshy table that can be useful to my Father, and useful not only in the life that now is, but as Paul said, the life that is to come, that we're getting prepared and trained to knock some characters off their positions out there and finally be able to put the life of our Father into effect. And were it not for the cross, where would we be? I mean, were it not for the cross? Anyone else?
I'd like to speak again if no one else.
Sure.
Probably surprising to most of you, or at least all of you, when I was growing up, I was a relatively insecure person. I had a very deep interest in religion, so to speak, or at least what I thought was religion. But for probably at least 20 years of my life, I never heard the gospel presented in a clear message. I always heard trust in Jesus, have faith in God, and so forth, but no one ever explained what that meant. What do you mean by that? Then I finally heard the gospel presented in a very clear fashion. And it was so simple. And all of a sudden, my whole life just took on a different attitude and tone. And more especially in recent times since I've been attending this church, I've come to realize the preciousness of the blood of Christ. Because his shed blood is what has secured my future and yours as a believer in Christ. And each time I take of this cup, I am reminded of something that I want to share with you, and it's a simple passage in the Bible. And it provides us with absolute confidence of what he has not only done for us, but he so secured our future and our destiny with him. It comes out of Romans 8, beginning of verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Thank you. That says it well. Anybody else want to speak to the cup?
Serious, but also makes it very personal. And I'm totally impressed with it beyond what I've got words to say, but I know that I'll get more of those words to explain maybe better next time. But the impressiveness of it all, rarely used me, and I'm just extremely grateful for it. There's nothing I'd rather talk about in the world than find somebody else who's interested in the same topic. But just to keep talking about it, trying to find ways to express it. And it's gotten to space. It's a grip. It's gotten to me. I hope it never lets go. I don't think it will. I don't know if anybody else is impressed with it like that. I'm sure you all know everybody is. It's just, so this is kind of neat to be able to sit around a table and do this.
Yeah.
And, and feel comfortable doing it too, because it is not unnatural. At least as far, it's not unnatural. It's just something that you've never done. So it feels,
well,
but you know,
yeah, I know.
Now that I'm opening my mouth for the second time, it's a little bit more comfortable.
Well, it's almost like talking to yourself, because this is your body. And sometimes when you first talk to yourself, it's a little uncomfortable, but you start being more comfortable with it. As long as you don't answer yourself.
But you know, like during the day, you know, at least in my experience, you have the work to do. You got to take care of your job. But there's really nobody that I have to speak to about this.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm amongst tons of people, and it's like, it's hard to talk, but it really shouldn't be.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, I'm amongst, you know, brothers and sisters. Just what I long for during the week. And it's like, okay, so let's talk.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, that those kind of profound things that everybody's expressing, I mean, they're all things that I can amen myself. I mean, because I have to deal with them as the one who has to teach it. And quite frankly, the more I learn, the more I struggle with being qualified to teach it. But I can't tell you how much it changed my perspective of all of you. I mean, you know how it's hard to explain this unless you've been with us all along, but you know how we started out. And I was kind of authoritative.
Really?
But I tell you what, it's amazing what that doctrine can do to cause and create that love to come into existence in a way that it never did before. To look at the faces of you that I've looked at. By the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but today is my 19th anniversary. 19 years I've been here. And for some of you, you've been with me that long. But I've never loved the assembly with the kind of love that my father has actually brought into existence until those passages did their effectual job, and that became effectually working in me. And nothing has been so profound lately as that impact of being a body with a living union dynamic when we assemble together. I know you can't feel it or sense it or see it as far as that the senses go, but my father tells me that's exactly what happens when we assemble. And to think that right now there's an angelic host that is watching this and seeing there's a son, there's a daughter who knows what they're doing. They may not know much, but they're getting it now. And if the elect angels just must be ecstatic to know that there's a group on this earth that takes their training seriously to repossess the Father's heavenly places back unto himself, and that we are going to dedicate ourselves to being trained for that. All coming out of that fount is the hymn writer, you know, that fount of blessing of the crosswork of Christ. It's rare. It is rare that you get to assemble with saints who understand that cross to the depth that that our Father has revealed it to us here through His Word. And it's just, it's a shame, it really is, that the rest of the Christian world isn't that way, but it's all right there on the pages of His Word, if they just pay attention. So I appreciate being with you. I was thinking about that this morning. If I'm not mistaken, I didn't go back and refresh myself on it, but wasn't one of those times, I'm not trying to parallel us with Israel's program, but when Jesus sat down with the disciples for what is commonly called the Last Supper, but when He commemorated the new covenant with them, am I right? Somebody help me. Didn't He sit down and say how delighted He was to take this with them? That when they sat down, it was something that, I need to go back and look at that, where He said, I've longed for this. There was some expression He made, and it's fuzzy in my thinking right now, but He longed, as He said, to sit with them and take of that. That culminated there with Him stealing Himself there in the Garden of Eden, as He would do just a few hours from there, where He would make the cry, Abba, Father, to make that last sonship decision, and called upon the strength of His sonship to do it. I mean, that goes into the celebration of this cross, because it was His sonship. It really was. He could have chose not to do it. He could, and nobody could have faulted Him. He could have chosen as a son, you know what? I'm not going to do it. But He did. And He drew on the strength of His sonship life to do it. That's amazing. When you see what this thing can do, what a privilege it is to be a part of it. Anyone else? Great point. And that spiritual side of it, I mean, I know doctors analyze what you're talking about, there's a medical name for it and everything, but none of us are going to approach that kind of pressure. It's always nice to fly in a plane that's been stress tested, isn't it? And our Lord really did test the sonship life out to its maximum amount of stress. So we can take it. That's great. Anyone else?
I'd just like to express my own appreciation for for the cup, but, you know, what that represents. Well, of course, the bread as well, but the fact that, you know, that, as Mark said, you know, Christ didn't have to do that, but He did that for me, and the appreciation that I have, that should have been me that was responsible for my own sins, but He took them upon Himself, and you know, because of that, you know, and my adoption as a son, that it's pretty fascinating that, you know, with all of you as a body, that because of His work, we're going to be able to take back those heavenly places, and with all of you, and that's something I really look forward to, that with all of you, that we're able to throw those cohorts off those principalities and those seats of principalities, powers, rights, and dominions. And not a real emotional person, but that's pretty emotional. So I look forward to that with every one of you.
Appreciate that. I look forward to that too. Anyone else? It's good.
Yeah.
it interesting, too, that just to follow up on that, that issue, how many times have we talked about that and taught that issue of Christ crying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And how many times you hear that taught, and we kind of mimic that teaching, that was the real heartbreak of all that was being separated from his Father. How much more that means now that we understand sonship. I look back, I never thought about that until this moment, but looking back on that issue from the eye of a son now, you can see why it was so agony. You know, we used to teach things so distilled in that, I used to call it the operating room where everything, that sterile environment of trying to dissect God into his various component parts and all this kind of business, and that was his deity and his humanity and da-da-da-da-da. But boy, now, when you see that from the perspective of a son and what that separation meant, not just, you know, his Father, always knowing that fellowship, but it was that fellowship as Father and Son. And that means far more now than it ever did to me. Far more. Yeah, and we will never experience that unless we walk away from it. Unless we voluntarily just walk away from it. Great point. That's good. All right. Anyone else? All right. If we have sufficiently blessed the cup, then let's receive the cup. As we often say, when Paul took the cup, or when Paul gave us the information in 1 Corinthians 12, he said that when the Lord had supped, he had taken the cup and given thanks. He said, "This is the New Testament that is written in my blood. Let's drink all of it." Would someone like to pray? I will. I'll take it. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to assemble together around the Lord's table this morning as this body who is coming together now with the first time we've had the curriculum for our sonship education written on our hearts, and how it is so fresh in our minds that we are recipients of the new covenant benefits that the cross of Jesus Christ and his victorious his work on that cross has provided for us. We're so grateful to be assembled together as sons and daughters, as one body in Christ, as one bread, and to be able to express our joy and our enthusiasm and the meaning for what this is about, not only to you, but to the angelic host that has to see this event. And we just thank you for this privilege of your grace today to be able to put your wisdom that you have given us on display. And we once again thank you for your word and for its effectual working that allows these things to do its job in our inner man that no other power can do, and that is to conform us into the very image of your dear Son. We pray that we will continue to grow in our edification and in the impact of this table. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we go, the deacons are going to have to pick up the cups, so let's stand. Does anybody know "Blessed be the tie that binds"? A few people that could help. It's "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above." So if you know it, sing loud, and we'll do it a couple of times. Nobody knows "Blessed be the tie that binds"? All right. Jerry knows it. Who else knows it? You know it. You surely know it.
I don't know it. Mel knows it.
Mel knows it.
All
right. Well, stand up, and we'll just listen to us, and we'll do it. Now, don't make me sing solo. Cindy, you know it. All right. "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above." All right, now everybody knows it now. Let's sing it.
Yeah.
Let's do it again. "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above." Okay. Is it kindred minds or kindred hearts? I can't remember which. Is it kindred hearts? Maybe. All right, we'll have to pass out the hymnals next time. Well, this was the first of breaking the ice on getting the Lord's table to be something that we participate in as a body. And I am so proud of you in the best and godliest sense of that term. And just a joy to be able to participate in this with all of you this morning. And therefore, let's just bow and dismiss in prayer. Father, again, we thank you for this opportunity to put your word on display in a labor aspect of it that we can do together as a body. We thank you so much for Jesus Christ, for his work on the cross, and how we have expressed it today, that everything we are ever hoped to be comes from what he accomplished for us there. As we go, we just pray for your wisdom and for the fellowship and communion together that we may have in our families and friendships together this day, as we enjoy this day now, having celebrated the victory of Jesus Christ over the cross, over hell, over death, over the adversary and over all of his minions, and that he alone is worthy of all the praise, the honor, and the glory for all that we are. We thank you for him and for you and all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.